would like to ask your prayers, and I'd like to call your attention to a scripture reading in the 51st Psalm. If you have your Bibles and would turn there with me. Psalm 51, and I'd like to read the first six verses of this today for scripture reading. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And I will stop reading there with verse 6. This, I believe, was David's prayer of repentance to God. And I would encourage you to go ahead and read in your time, read through the rest of that psalm. But those are the verses that were on my heart to read for a reading lesson today. And I would like to use these words for a title, Lest We Forget. Lest We Forget. The fifth verse of this is what really has been on my heart. David spoke a great truth here. He said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And I want to, today in this message, speak about something that we don't ever need to forget. And David, he spoke this concerning himself. He used, he was speaking, I guess you would say, in the first person there. He said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. But the fact is that that's not true only about David. It's also true about us. This is the way that we are born. And every person that has been born of a woman since the time of Adam's transgression, except for Jesus Christ, has been born into the world a sinner. I said born a sinner. We all know that we are sinners, and I believe we acknowledge that we are sinners. But not only do we become sinners, we are born that way. We are born with that inherent, depraved nature. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. And of course, that one man is in reference to the first man, to Adam. Wherefore, as by Adam, sin entered into the world. And death by sin. And so death passed up on all men, for that all have sinned. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, David, in this 51st Psalm, when he said that he was, you know, shapen in iniquity and in sin did his mother conceive him, he wasn't talking about being born out of wedlock or something like that. He was talking about the nature with which we are born. And that's true for us, for all of us. The Apostle Paul, in his writing to the Ephesians, why do you suppose that he did this? I'll just put that before you for you to think about. But the Apostle Paul, in his writing to the Ephesians, in the second chapter of Ephesians, where we often quote the verses and the statements that Paul made about the fact that we are saved by grace, if you look in the second chapter of Ephesians in our English Bibles, that chapter starts by Paul reminding those people who had been saved what they used to be, what they once were. And he said, "You hath he quickened." And what he was saying there was, you who are saved, it's because God has saved you. It's because God has made you alive. And he was talking about being quickened spiritually, being saved spiritually. "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And so with all of those words that the Apostle Paul used there in writing to the Ephesians, what he was simply telling them was, you that are now saved, you used to be lost. You used to be without the Lord. And I want you to think about with me today, you know, there's nothing that will ever make a person feel more helpless in any situation than to encounter something, to face something, and to be affected by something that you know that there's not anything that you yourself can do to better the situation. There's nothing that you can do to get yourself out of that. And I was thinking about that very earnestly a few days back, and the Lord spoke to my heart and placed this thought upon my heart. But we faced a situation that we were powerless to change. I mean, completely powerless. And, you know, we don't make choices when it comes to being born into the world. You know, we are not given the choice of the family that we're going to be born into. We're not given the choice of what we're going to look like or anything. We are just simply born. And there's nothing that we can do, not anything that we can do to change the fact that when we are born, that we are born sinners. We can't do anything about it. The only, you know, I know that you've heard the term used sometimes towards the human race as being free moral agents. But I'm going to tell you what, truthfully, the only free moral agent ever was Adam. Adam was the only one that had a choice whether to be a sinner or not. He had a choice. He was made holy. He was made created righteous. He was created without sin. And he had the choice. Well, I guess I should say Adam and Eve. But Adam had the choice whether or not to become a sinner, and he chose that. Now, you and I, you know, since the time of Adam's transgression, as I said, we have been born that way. And we don't have the choice. We're born, just as David said, we are shapen in iniquity, we're conceived in sin, and we come into the world. Now, I know that it may be difficult for us sometimes to look at a baby. They're so sweet. I mean, they're just so precious and so innocent. And it may be difficult for us to look at a little baby like that and think of this, but it's true. You know, every time that a little child is born, a baby is born into the world, and you look at that little child, or perhaps you hold that little baby in your arms. I know that, God has blessed my wife and I with children and with grandchildren. And what a blessing that is. But I know the truth that my children and my grandchildren, when they were born into the world, they came into the world with a sinful nature about them. The Bible even tells us that we begin to display this nature in our infancy. I mean, little bitty babies begin to display their sinful nature even in their infancy. The Bible says that we come forth from the womb speaking lies. Babies can falsify their own cry, can't they? They can falsify their own cry. A baby can cry just to get attention. A baby can cry and make his mom or his dad think that something's wrong with him when there's not a thing in the world wrong with him. All he wants is attention. And so we're sinners. That's what we are. And when we get saved by God's grace, and the reason that David was repenting the way that he did was, when we get saved by God's grace and he creates in us that new man, and we become what the Apostle Paul spoke about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, when he said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." Even when that has taken place in us, in the flesh, we still have the nature of sin. And we have to battle that all the days of our lives. We have to battle with that. There's a warfare that goes on between the inward man that has been saved and the outward man that hasn't yet been regenerated. And so we have to battle that. There's a conflict that goes on within us. And David, he had sinned. He had sinned against God. And he was repenting of his sins before the Lord. I suppose that in this today, more than anything, I want to give thanks to the Lord for what he has done for us. Because, as I said, I couldn't do anything to change the fact that I was born a sinner. And it didn't take very many years. I didn't have to live very many years in this world until I came to the place where God held me accountable for my sins. Now, I know that there is a time through the first years of our lives, I realized that there is a time of innocence, a time in a child's life, when the Lord protects them, when they have not yet been called to account for their sins, but that generally doesn't last very many years with people. And it's usually in the young years of our lives that we realize, I'm convinced today, I'm persuaded today, I know this for a fact by many of your testimonies, but I'm persuaded today that we could go around the room here and you could begin to testify. We could go around this sanctuary one by one and people could begin to testify and say, I realized that when I was just a very, very young person that I had become accountable before God for my sins. God had made it known unto me that I was lost and separated from Him. And listen, when that happens to us, when the Holy Spirit of God, through the truth of His gospel, moves upon our heart and convicts us of our sins and causes us to realize our lost condition before the Lord, we are helpless. To do anything about it. I want you to think back as the Apostle Paul. I believe if we do this from time to time, if we don't forget this, if we don't allow ourselves to forget this and we reflect upon that, we will be even more thankful for the salvation of our soul, because we all found ourselves. If you're here today and you've been saved by God's grace, if you have that time and place in your life where you know that the Lord spoke peace to your soul, then you also have had that experience in your life where you found yourself lost and separated from God and had the full realization brought before you that there was nothing that you could do to change it. I believe that we have to be brought to that point. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're here today and you're lost, I want you to know this. You are never going to save yourself. You are never going to save your soul. You can't do it. You can't do anything about the fact that you were born into this world a sinner. If God has made it known unto you, if you have reached the point in your life that God has made it known unto you that you're lost and separated from Him, I want you to know that you are on your way to eternal destruction and eternal damnation, and there's not a thing that you can do yourself to change the course that you're on. I thought about that this week. I thought about the time in my life. I thought back and reflected back to the younger years of my life when I knew beyond any doubt that I was lost, when I knew that I was accountable to God for my sins. And I begin to think about the course that I was on. I begin to think about the place that I was headed. I was headed for certain destruction. I was headed for an eternity without God. I was headed for an eternity in that place that we read about in the Scriptures that burns with everlasting fire, that place that the Bible calls the lake of fire, that the Bible calls hell. And I thought about in my life when I was headed for that place, and there was nothing that I could do to take myself off of that broad path. I'm telling you today, had it not been for Jesus, had it not been for what He did for us, stop and think about it. Had it not been for the fact that God loved this world, had it not been for the fact that God looked down upon His creation that had sinned against Him, that had wronged Him, that had, trampled His goodness under our feet, that had offended God, had it not been for the fact that God was able to look down upon us and love us and desire to be merciful to us, had it not been for that, then we could not be enjoying the things that we are today. We could not be feeling what we feel down in our souls today. We could not be sharing the testimonies that we share with each other from week to week. We could not be, thanking God for salvation, the salvation of our soul, had it not been for the fact that God loved us and was willing to sacrifice the way that he did in order for us to be saved. I'll tell you what, one by one, for the children of God, one by one, as our lives here come to a close. Now, I don't know about you today, but I just don't worry. I just don't spend time at all worrying about the close of my earthly life, because I know that everything's all right. In fact, not only is it all right, but it's looking really good. I mean, not only is everything going to be okay when I die, things are going to be great when I die. I mean, I'm not only all right, I'm going to make great gain when I leave this world. So I don't have to worry about that. But I cannot take credit for it at all. I cannot take one bit of credit for that, because it's all because of what the Lord has done for me. And so one by one, as we come to the end of our earthly lives, you know, we're like the can that's sitting on the shelf in the grocery store. Friends, we got an expiration date. We sure do. We got an appointment with death to keep, and we're going to keep it. The Lord's going to call, and we're going to answer. We're going to answer that call. And, when that comes, and one by one, we find ourselves, I think, a lot of times about suddenly realizing that I'm in heaven. Waking up someplace on a beautiful shore and realizing that I'm home, that I'm with God. And I'm going to tell you, one by one, as we leave this life and go home, there won't be not one of us that'll enter heaven thinking that, well, I was good enough to get there. You know, I did enough. You know, obviously I'm there. No, we will realize, I believe even more so, as we do here, that it was all by God's grace. It was all by His doing. That we have something today we need to remember, lest we forget, that we have something today that we could never have deserved. And I want you to know something. I want to tell you the truth here today. You better be thankful if you're here and you're lost. You better be thankful today that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You better be thankful today that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died for your sins to make a way for you to be saved, because I promise you that you could have never deserved it. And you don't deserve it now. And I'll tell you what, I believe anybody that ever comes to the Lord thinking they deserve to be saved, they're not going to get it. They're not going to get it. I realized before the Lord saved my soul, I mean, He had made me to fully realize that there was nothing about me that was good. There was nothing about me that deserved His salvation. And friend, there's not about you. I've had people say to me before, I remember one man in particular that was seeking the Lord, and he told me one day we were talking and he said, well, he said, I just don't think I'm going to get saved because I just, you know, the things I've done in my life, he said, I just don't believe I'm going to get saved because I just don't believe I deserve to be saved. And I just told him, I said, you're right. You don't. But God doesn't save us based upon our merit. He saves us by His grace. By His grace. By His unmerited favor towards us. God loved us enough. Thank God in heaven that He loved us enough that He was willing to do the things that He did in order to redeem us, in order to save us, because without Him, we would be headed, Brother Mike Jackson, right now, we would be headed to a devil's hell. Without being able to do one thing about it, we would be facing eternity without any assurance, without any hope, without any expectation of something better ahead of us. Lost friend, I want you to know you are headed to a horrible place. You are headed for an awful eternity in your lost condition. And you can't do anything about it. But the Lord can. The Lord can. And so you've just got to come to Jesus. If you want to be saved, you've got to come to Jesus. I mean, you've got to come to Him completely. You've got to come to Him with a total reliance upon Him. In that verse of Scripture that I mentioned in John chapter 3, verse 16, where it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what that word believeth there means? It doesn't mean just to believe in His existence. It means to have a total reliance upon Him for the welfare of your soul. To totally rely upon Him, to totally trust Him to save your soul. Because you can't. You can't. And I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to be, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. I'm going to be truthful with you. We have the mourner's benches up here, and, you know, they're here for you, and you're welcome to come and use them. But I'm going to tell you, coming to a mourner's bench will not save you. Amen. You have got to come to Jesus. Whether you seek Him on a mourner's bench, whether you seek Him where you're at, whether you seek Him at home, whatever the situation is, the only way that you can get saved is to come completely to Jesus. Amen. Completely. With all of your heart, trusting Him for the salvation of your soul. I thank God today for what He's done for me. Thank Him for what He's done for me, because there was not a thing in the world I could have ever done. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? No. Can the leopard change his spots? No. Can sinful man change his nature? No. Can a sinner make himself righteous? No. Could we have ever made ourselves that new creature that Paul spoke about? No. The Lord has to do that. The Lord has to do that. He's the only one that can. So we preach Jesus. Not ourselves, but we preach Jesus to you that are lost. Let's have a song.